You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody. This is Glenn back with you, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning Daily podcast for the last 15 years. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, ask questions, and connect with your community. We host a virtual event or share educational content every Monday via the Retail Roundup Facebook page. And if you haven't joined that yet, search for Retail Roundup up on Facebook, and please do join it. I think you'll enjoy being there. It's everybody that has the same problems you do, same issues you do, and we all want to learn together. Today, we talk about working with sponsored riders, whether you're a retailer or manufacturer, what works and what doesn't. We have Gabrielle Fournier, and she is with, or she is the marketing and communications manager for Ariane Cellier, right? Did I say it right?
Yes.
Yay, good. They work with riders, hunters, jumpers, equitation, cross-country, dressage, pretty much everybody, and more from a bunch of different countries. So we kind of felt that Gabrielle was the one to talk to when it comes with dealing with sponsored riders. And you can relate this, whether you're a retailer or a manufacturer or a wholesaler, it all applies. I mean, working with sponsored riders, in no matter what format you're in, all pretty much works the same. And it has changed through the years. So, Gabrielle, before you got into it, you know, I was dealing with this 20 years ago on the retail side. And, you know, we had different expectations than now because of social media. And there's so much more access to social media than there was then. So hopefully everybody tuning in today will get something out of this. Gabrielle, what's your background? You come from the horse world or the marketing world? Where are you from?
I actually grew up riding with the owner's wife. So is all very connected. But I've been riding since I was 4 years old, so a little over 20 years. I've been very immersed in the sport at all different levels, but hunter jumper mainly. So I kind of grew up in the market. And then I went to school and I did Division I, Delaware State University. And I studied marketing my freshman year, but did not like math. So I changed my major.
None of us do,
history.
Even though we're marketers. I mean,
I didn't want to do it. I wanted to go professional. But then actually my senior year, this company was mostly based in France and it was starting to grow a bigger market in the US. So the owner approached me and he asked me to help translate some language from French to English. I don't speak French, but I would help kind of navigate the Google Translate. So that's how I kind of started my role in Ariane. And then once I graduated, he promoted me to manager and all of different things. So I've been with Ariane since the beginning.
Do you speak French now?
No. And my name is very French and everybody asks me that.
Mine too. And I don't either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I took it for years in high school. Never got it. I'd never. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's actually, for me, it was just a tough language to figure out. So. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about sponsored riders. Let's get right to the topic. You guys deal with a lot of them. So let's start at the beginning. How do you find sponsored riders?
So like I said, I've been in the sport for a very long time. And I feel like growing up with saddle brands and understanding the market from like person that rode in saddles, obviously, and needed saddles all the time because I rode a lot. I thought there was a gap in the equitation market. And as I was looking at sponsorships, obviously, we don't have a lot of money. We're a small and up-and-coming brand. So the sponsorship opportunities came in the equitation classes. And I had been doing the equitation, like I was just out of it. So I knew a lot of the girls and boys that were competing in equitation and needed new saddles because they were growing. So that's how I first, like, unofficially started getting sponsored riders because these, like, my friends, they were like, we need new saddles. And I was like, perfect, try Ariane. And then our name kind of was going everywhere as title sponsors of equitation championships. So I would say that's the unofficial version of how we got so big into sponsored riders. But when I came into the brand, Sylvain, the owner, had spoken with some higher up and coming jumper riders, but it's such a hard market because the other brands are very well versed in those and have, you know, they pay the top riders to ride in their saddles and we're not at a position to do that. So we're more focused on equitation and they're our friends and we know them and they're great.
So I think you answered the next question already. Do you pay them or is it a product deal exclusively?
I would say it's a product deal. Not all of our quote sponsored riders are completely sponsored. Just because you're a sponsored rider with Arion doesn't mean that you have received a free saddle or free anything. There are some riders that pay a very discounted rate and then they get free tack. There are other riders that we have traded in their old saddle for a new saddle. It's kind of varies on what they're doing and what we can do for them and they can do for us. But I will say back to the equitation riders, like these kids are so much better at social media even than me. So it's so much easier working with them and they're promoting the brand. I don't have to ask them to do anything. They do it because they want to do it. They like doing it. So it's a little bit easier with our sponsored riders because again, we don't pay them. They want to be involved in our team. They like the saddles. They'll promote it themselves.
Well, and that's been one of the problems with sponsored riders through the years. And actually in generations in the past, sponsored riders got a bad name because they would get the free stuff or payment and then not live up to their side of what they were supposed to do. It's been an issue in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we look for people that actually want to ride with us and like the brand and like the saddles and will say truthfully what they think about our brand. And obviously not everybody loves everything. So it's kind of tricky to see which ones are going to be authentic and not just want to say they're sponsored by someone. We want people that actually like the saddles in our brand, you know.
What is expected of your sponsored riders? Is there a contract, first of all, a written contract?
Yes. So how we started with our riders, we did not have a contract because we wanted it to be so authentic. And we found that to be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, it always is.
Yeah, because we were growing and the brand was expanding. So people would talk and say, oh, go to Arion. Like, they'll just give you a saddle, which is obviously not the case.
There, I was going to ask you later on, is there a mistake you made? That was probably a mistake looking back, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I would say in the past year, we've really locked down a contract. But again, the contract is not like other brands where it's you have to meet this minimum spend or you have to ride in our saddles for this many years. It just kind of outlines the agreement that we have when you have like a loaner saddle or this is what you've paid for the saddle. It just outlines the agreement that we've made. And then we also send them a media kit, which I think has really helped us.
Does it outline what you expect of them in terms of promotion?
Yes. So the media kit is kind of where we go and what's expected of them. I would say the contract is more based on what we're offering them. And then the media kit kind of goes into more details about what we expect. And again, there are brands that will expect. I have a lot of photographer friends and they work with not just saddle brands, but different things. And they want a post a week, a story, you know, X. It's kind of unrealistic because they are riding and doing the business and have a life. So yeah. I ask.
And other brands they're sponsored by. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what I ask is a post and or a story a month as a minimum, which I think is very fair. And they're showing. So if they post a random show picture and just tag us, I'm okay with that. We ask them to put us in their Instagram bio, our logo, a clickable link on their website. Very basic things, but it kind of just introduces me, our brand, the logo, our social handles, things like that.
Do you and should, you know, people listening, should they really track that?
I will be blunt. I do not track it because I think it's very hard. Now, I notice which riders are doing more than others. But again, it kind of depends. Like, we have a very big equitation rider riding for us. And I would say that she's on the lower level of actually posting a story and saying, I love my Arion saddle, but she's winning all the time and tagging us and is so wonderful and so sweet and always rides in our saddles. So I think it's, you have to kind of value what you're expecting out of each rider and what you're expecting when you're going into the partnership with them.
I think that's one of the most important things that we can get out of today is you have to know what you expect before you go into it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And is it realistic?
Right.
You know, that's the other thing. You're right. I've seen so many. And there are, you know, you touched on it earlier. There are sponsored deals that are paid.
Right.
Where the rider gets, you know, at the higher levels, that's very common. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, it's not necessarily, I think the people that we're talking to today, that's, you know, that might not happen. That's not a realistic thing for the companies either.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you know, you are given a product, you should expect something in return. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know, there has to be a return there by the rider.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so what happens if the rider doesn't hold up their end of the deal?
We'll talk to them. And again, for the ones that we put the most energy and time into, we know what we're going to get out of them. And we're very close with them. We create a very nice relationship with them. So it's pretty easy to talk to them and say, hey, we need you to kind of hold up your end of the deal. And 99% of the time, they're totally fine. We'll post the next day. I think when we see some of our sponsored riders lacking on some promotion, it's because there's a problem and they don't feel comfortable saying that there's a problem, is what we found. And our brand is so small that we're a very easy company to talk to. So it's very disappointing when someone comes to us and we kind of push back and we're like, hey, like, is everything okay? Like, we haven't seen kind of you holding up your end of the deal. And they're like, you're right, we're moving brands. That is the most heartbreaking message to receive, just because we're so easy to talk to and we try to be so like easy line of communication. So it's very frustrating when that happens. And also there's a lot of up and coming brands that we're competing with now that are trying, that see our sponsored riders, because I'm so transparent about which riders are with us. So it's easy for them to just contact them and say, here's a check, you want to switch? So that's a bit difficult to compete with. But again, if people actually like our saddles and like our brand, they'll stay with us. So it's okay.
So what I would, you know, we talked about the one mistake there. What would, are there other mistakes you think you've made in the past that you would advise others not to do?
One actually pretty recently happened. So yes, we tried to go with people with the most social media presence because we don't have a large budget for marketing and sponsorship. So it's obviously much easier to go with someone and they promote it themselves on their $100,000 follower or 100,000 follower pages. But when there is an issue, they will post poorly about it too. Not always great. So we had an issue a couple months ago and this person decided to post publicly about the issue that they were having. And that was a bit eye-opening. So we might render our contract to say, if there's an issue, you cannot post about it. You can come talk to us first and then you can leave. But when we are openly sponsoring you and you're not talking greatly about the brand, like, that's an issue for us. And also, again, we're a very easy company to contact. So that was a bit of a miss, I would say, picking this person to sponsor. But again, that was
and that's something sponsor. That can be addressed in the contract ahead of time.
Exactly. So that's a mistake that we've made. Like, our contract is very broad because we don't want it to be like a jail, because we have sponsored riders that come to us and say, we want to ride with you, but our contract with X is so, like, we're scared of it. We don't want people to go around saying they're scared of a contract with us. Like,
yeah, but it still also has to protect you as the company.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're kind of navigating that.
There's a fine line there. I agree with you. There is a fine line. You know, when we do product reviews on the shows, and, you know, we tens of thousands of listeners, you know, and companies send us products to review, and we tell them we're going to give an honest review. But I will say, because our listeners do the product reviews, if they hate it, and I've gotten products in, we only accept advertising with companies that we believe in the products, and we test them all. And if I don't like it for some reason, I tell them, look, I'm going to talk to you. I'm not, if I totally don't like the product, we're just not going to do a review. If there's a couple things we don't like, we'll bring that up in the review. But I'm going to talk to you and tell you why we don't like it. And we've had a couple of companies that have changed the product because of something, a flaw that we found or our listeners found. So I think communication's the key there, right?
Right. And trying to be easy to communicate, because I feel like other brands are kind of difficult to communicate. You just send an email and it's not a real person. So we try to give different outlets through Instagram, Facebook, email, phone numbers, things like that. So we really try hard to do that. So when someone has a complaint about that, we have an issue with it. But yeah, I'd say picking people that are easy to talk to is very important.
How much has it helped you having sponsored riders? I know it's hard to track ROI, but you can tell.
Right.
Yeah.
We can definitely tell. Our booth, I think our sponsorship deals with the sponsored riders has helped us a lot. I wouldn't say just sponsored riders is making or breaking the company. I think that our plan of focusing on equitation has helped, and we can see it because it is a smaller group within this very large equestrian sport. So I hear word of mouth all the time when I'm at the horse shows. I see all of the kids and their little friends groups talking about Ariana wearing the hats and the swag and all the things. So that to me is very helpful as a new brand. And I think going to these kids that are growing and will need new saddles at that point in their career when they're 18, I do see a return on it just because of who we're picking and where we're spending our money.
you mentioned swag. You keep yes. leading into the next conversation. So thank you for that. You mentioned swag. It's important that you get them all the stuff that they can, without saying a word, advertise for you.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. And yeah. I think some brands do it very well, and there's a lot of different ways to go about it, just because we are a leather goods manufacturer. So yes, we could have like leather bags and all these things, but they love like chapstick and lanyards and hats, and like the silly things go 10 times farther than a very nice bag or a very nice blanket or something like that. I think things that they'll use and carry around with them at the horse shows works wonders.
You know, it's funny. We have a sponsor that's been with us since the beginning, Kentucky Performance Products, and they made their own chapstick, which happened to be very good. Mm-hmm. And they would go to Rolex and they would go to, you know, these different shows, and everybody knew them for their chapstick.
Yep.
That little, and you know, today, if I put a call out on the air that said, you know, the first 100 people to sign up to get KPP chapstick, I'd have that in 5 minutes, because yes. everybody knows their chapstick. It's the funny, that's not their product, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're known mm-hmm. for that, and people are thinking of their name, right? That's mm-hmm. that's all branding play there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't be afraid to branch out into something that you're not.
Exactly. You know, so, yeah. Our next topic is bringing bucket hats in. So a lot of the kids have requested it, so that might be the next swag from Arion.
That's funny. So what are things that companies need to be aware of when they get into their first sponsored riders? What would you tell them?
Again, I'd kind of say, what are you expecting out of them? What market are you trying to grasp?
And what's the goal for ROI in the end? You know, what's right. your goal? Is it more mm-hmm. sales? Is it just branding, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. So we recently, I wouldn't say sponsored, because the child is maybe 8 years old, but she's a younger sister of one of our bigger pony hunter riders. And, you know, she does the walk trot, but her TikTok, she's TikTok famous. So of course we want to work with her. Like, we don't have a huge TikTok presence. So obviously you're not going to sponsor an 8 year old, but I think you kind of look at, okay, that's that market, check. And then you do pony hunters. And then you kind of look at where the gaps are in your market that you can't grasp by paying someone or paying a sponsorship deal or sitting at the ring. You know, they kind of do it themselves. So we try to look at sponsor riders for each class of each discipline, even in cross country and dressage. We try to do the lowest level to the top level, because that's what our brand is. We have a saddle for every market and every rider. We're the most customizable saddles, and our price range varies dramatically. So we try to get as many people as we can. So you want to go in to going to the sponsored riders thinking, what are you going to get out of them in the best way? Not like a, you know, they're going to work right. for you type of way. It's just, how are you going to work together?
But that's the reason we're doing it, right? I mean, that's exactly. the ultimate reason you're doing it. And mm-hmm. you know, you have a very set structure, obviously, on price of a saddle. So you're kind mm-hmm. of knowing going in that this, and it is an investment for you. If you're giving right. a rider a saddle, that's a couple $1,000 investment, even at wholesale prices, right?
Exactly.
So
mm-hmm.
It is still, you are paying advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have to look at it that way. It is paid right. advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with retailers that have to handle that a little differently, you're going to, in your contract, set down how much a year they can get from you.
Right.
And then you have to decide, is that going to be, you know, in your case, is that going to be, as a retailer, is that going to be wholesale or retail? And
right.
that should be spelled out in the contract as well. Mm-hmm. I've seen that bite people in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to say, okay, you're a $5,000 rider with us, you know, and we're going
right.
to give you, you would just order $5,000 worth of stuff. It's basically mm-hmm. a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to decide all those things ahead of time. And then what's my ROI from that? What am I getting from it? Because ultimately we still have to look at that eventually, even
right.
if it's a branding deal, is it paying off to more sales in the future? If it's mm-hmm. not, is it, you know, do I need to readjust it? Do you take a look at these annually?
Yes. And I will say, I think I look at this very differently, because there's sponsored riders and then there's sponsored trainers. And our sponsored trainers, we see direct results from them. And in that contract,
yeah,
is
because
a bit
they
different.
Can say to the kid, buy this saddle, right?
Exactly. And yeah. when they do that, they get a return from us. So they get credit towards tack, another saddle, or they get cash based on how many saddles they sell. So
a finder's
I think
fee,
it's
really is what that
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Yes. I think it's a bit different and separate in the best way, because sponsored riders are the ones that are actually promoting the brand, and sponsored trainers are actually helping us sell them. So
that's interesting.
It kind of depends on what you want.
And so if you're a local retailer, it would be the local barns, right?
Exactly.
The barn owners mm-hmm. would be the trainers in your case.
Right.
Yeah. Treating mm-hmm. them like that. Right. And they would have a little bit different contract too.
They do. Yes. Like yeah. It spells out what they're gaining and receiving from us. And I will send them a media kit, but I rarely see return from those kind of contracts. I see a lot of return from the ones that are actually showing and competing.
Do you take a look at it then for your year-end report? You still have people mm-hmm. to answer to. You have a boss. We all do, right?
Yep.
Do you take a look at year-end as a whole then? What has the whole thing gotten us?
Yes. And it's very easy to break everything down from sponsorships, sponsored riders, sponsored trainers, things like that. Obviously, different locations have different returns. Like Kentucky and Florida, I think, are our biggest markets. California, we struggle with. It's just, it depends on where we have a rec too. You know what I'm saying? So
that's where the shows are. Yeah,
exactly. So, and our sponsorship deals, I will say, are very rewarding for us because we can offer a saddle in return. So we don't have to pay cash as much because we're offering a higher product. But I do see the most return on the sponsored trainers, obviously.
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting about this too is every company does it a little different. There's no, mm-hmm. you know, there's no right or wrong here. Yeah, there's right. best practices, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to do it like you do it. I would say the one thing that is consistent across all of it is have a written contract.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that will bite you later yes. on. If, you know, just what you were saying, you know, mm-hmm. one disgruntled person and you've got trouble.
Yeah, because of their following that you wanted is now not working with you.
Which of the platforms, all of the different platforms that are out there that people are advertising on for you, mm-hmm. Which one have you seen most effective there? You said you have a small TikTok, so I'm assuming it's Instagram?
It's Instagram is the biggest one. The internal struggle we're having is our French market and US market is separate. So we cannot have an Instagram shop. So people cannot shop directly from Instagram. But on our website, I can track and see where they're coming from. And majority come from Instagram.
That's interesting. You know, mm-hmm. the horse world used to be Facebook.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to be Facebook. And it still is to some degree, I think, with the
Definitely.
With the 40 up crowd. Mm-hmm. Most of our listeners are in that crowd and they're Facebook, right?
Yes. So, yeah. But my sponsored riders are the generation of Instagram. So right. that's where I directly see it.
Yeah. And you know what? You can see the ones who do the riders that mm-hmm. do a good job with this, you know, just as an example, and I know he's not one of yours, but Boyd Martin is a
exactly.
perfect example. He does a great job mm-hmm. with that. And he weaves it in. And the ones that are really good at it, this is the ones that are poor at it when it comes. And this is something that you can look at before you contract a rider. Mm-hmm. You can look at what they're currently doing for their current sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I don't be afraid, do that, you know, go in and check out their Instagram, mm-hmm. go back a year, see yeah. what all their posts are. Boyd does it so well because he weaves it in with a lot of non-sponsored posts.
Exactly.
And then you'll see the riders that every post they do is sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not effective because their followers tune that out after a while.
Exactly. We want it to be as authentic as possible.
Yeah. And so that is, do you look and
oh,
see
yes.
what they're currently? Yeah.
I'm very involved in it.
What little triggers are you looking for? What are the markers you're looking for?
I want our social media to be as engaging as possible. So that's why I post a lot about sponsored riders, because I think it's more engaging seeing action, seeing sport. I don't see the same return when I post, look at our beautiful saddle and call it a day,
right.
buy our saddle. You know, I see more when it's talking with a rider, walking a course, being in the back of the barn, things like that. And I think it allows more trust for the brand when you're hearing it from another rider. But I will say our sponsored riders are majority teenagers doing the equitation, and they are just so good at it.
Yeah, they're posting 10 times a day about everything.
Exactly, exactly. Because they love being sponsored. They love working with the brand. I mean, I think we're very easy and fun to work with. So it's pretty easy. It's that stuff I love seeing. I'll repost it. But things kind of more focused on our older generation sponsored riders will post things that are not really clean. The horse isn't clipped, you know, things that don't really go with our high-end brand, or like our saddles are not cheap. So I don't think our content should be cheap. So things when they're like riding in all pink, like I just won't post that sometimes when it doesn't really align with the brand. So that I find tricky because I want to support them, but also it needs to align with the brand.
I think you said something. It's been interesting too, the correlation for what we do and what you do,
mm-hmm.
or what any of our sponsors do, mm-hmm. is our when we do polling, and we have focus groups and all that stuff, when we do polling, we find that our guests that are the most popular are the middle to even lower end riders. Mm-hmm. So we've gone away, like on our morning show, we very seldom have the Olympians and those kind, because people can't relate to them.
Right.
They're unrelatable. Even Boyd, right. I mean, he's relatable because he's just so goofy. Mm-hmm. But you know, they relate. So your lesson of going after not the top,
exactly,
but the middle, and it tends to be that middle and lower who have the higher mm-hmm. following on social media too. It's not yes. It's not all the time the top riders.
Mm-hmm. I think the issue that I struggle with that is that we are a brand that does, like, we have a Western audience, we have an English, you know, we have a lot of different disciplines, and that is difficult to merge. I will say that's mm-hmm. hard, especially when you're reposting content and trying to what to post and to what market to attract. That's a bit difficult, especially with sponsored riders.
Just with the English and Western, there's the first thing.
Exactly.
It's very difficult because it's two mm-hmm. different worlds completely.
Yes. We do work with the NCEA, and obviously they have English and Western. So I find that very successful, and I like being involved in it. So that's kind of my biggest Western market, just because.
Well, those kids are all in it together, too. I mean, they're on a team. So it's,
yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
Whereas socially, and even our content, we have to be very careful. Is it to a Western audience or to the English audience? It is a different crowd. And then you have the 80% that are trail riders that don't compete in anything. You know, that's 80% of the horse world or more probably.
Right.
So know your audience, know who you're, who you're targeting with this as well. So this has been fascinating. You know, it's a topic that been talked about for a lot of years because sponsored riders have been around forever. It's changed a lot because of the different platforms, and it's changed every time a new platform comes along because there's new types of content, like TikTok changed everything and really forced Instagram to get into Reels too. So it was TikTok that forced that.
Exactly.
Before it was just pictures, right? It was, you know, that's what it was. So are you spending a lot of time? And I know a lot of retailers and wholesalers and manufacturers hate this because it's just so hard. Do you spend a lot of time also figuring out, keeping track of the trends as far as social media is concerned? You would have to.
Yes. Yes. But I think being immersed in the sport for so long, I follow, I think, a lot of major keys. So I'm looking at it every day in my own scrolling. So I wouldn't say religiously I need to check the trends. I just kind of see what I like and we'll make our own twist on things that I like.
Okay. Here's a question I haven't asked in any of these sessions before that we're going to have to start asking because we're using it more too. AI. Where does AI come into your life now?
I am not a huge AI person, but I do not rely on it that much. I will say we're making a new website. So with some of the language for that, I use it, but for social media captions and things like that, I don't use it that much. I kind of do it myself.
You know, for us, it's been saving a lot of time in high-level research. So if we're going to talk about a topic, it's easier to go into AI to find your reference points than for us to spend an hour looking through 15 pages of Google. You know, it just has shortened our time with anything we do, actually.
Right.
And it's gotten so much better. We did a sample the other day, the AI that talks to you.
Oh,
a 1,000 times better conversationally. And we did a session with one of them the other day talking about horses on the air. And we told him we were a podcast, and you would have guessed it was a human talking to you.
Wow.
And he made jokes and it was eerie. It was just eerie. And the listeners all said it was just the eeriest thing. You would have thought he was a human.
Yeah, I just didn't grow up in that, obviously. And I don't trust it. I like knowing what I have in my background. I'm okay.
It's something we're all going to be using, though. It's not going away. It is not going away. I mean, we are using it. You do use it now because every search you do on Google is AI first, right?
Right.
The first results are AI. So we're all using it, whether we know it or not. Yeah, that's interesting. And I think you'll be using it more.
Yes, unfortunately.
We have used it to help write commercials and things. We write the commercials in our voice, but when there's a product that we need to go a little bit more in depth on, it does a good job with that.
Okay.
Because it'll give you you can tell it, look, I'm doing a commercial for a podcast. I want it to be understandable and easy for everybody. You give it the right prompts and it gives you the right thing. Prompts are what the key is for AI,
right,
is prompting it correctly. And all of us, whether you're a retailer, wholesaler, manufacturer, you're going to be doing a lot more of it in the future.
Yes.
Interesting. So any final suggestions? What would you want to leave everybody with that's looking to get into this for the first time with a sponsored rider?
I would say know your market and try to keep up with what's happening in the sport and what discipline you're trying to go into.
I would add to that, if you're in multiple like you guys are, pick one to start with. Don't try and do them all at once.
Exactly.
You're going to learn, and you might as well learn with one group. And I would go with whatever group you sell the most of. If you're in dressage, you know, if you have a store that sells mostly dressage stuff, then go dressage. But you also sell something else, you know, go to that second after you've figured the dressage out. Am I wrong there, or do you do it
no,
all at once?
I think you're totally right. And again, I think trying to find the person that relates most to your audience, like you said, how the Olympic and some of the top riders are unrelatable. Our brand, we have low-end and high-end saddles, so we're allowed to kind of be broad in the level of riders. But if you have a lower-end price range product, I think stay with that audience. Don't try to find the biggest person in the world.
And I'll add to that, do your research.
Exactly.
On the person. Check out their social media and don't just go for the last week, you know, look back. And we, you know, I'm always shocked that we have advertisers that want to advertise on our shows who have never listened to the show.
Yeah.
You know, listen to that's the first thing I tell people, listen to the show. Do we fit your brand? You know, does our voice fit your brand? And it's reverse for what you're looking about doing. Does the sponsored rider's voice fit your brand? They might be saying things that you totally don't want to be associated with, and they could be awful, you know, and it's your job to research that. Yeah, and I'm sure you have the same thing. You see people post stuff, you go, oh, we got to stay away from that one.
Exactly.
For whatever reason, you know, because it is, you're associated with it then.
Right.
Yeah. And that can get you in trouble.
Definitely.
Quickly with social media. Well, this has been fascinating. You're a great representative of this particular topic. Where can people find the saddles and all about you guys?
On our website would be great, arion-hst.com. is the first place to go, or Instagram and Facebook, obviously.
Okay, great. And do you do retail? Do you do wholesale?
Yes.
Rather?
Short answer, yes.
Okay. If a store is interested and they're in the area that does the type saddles, they can contact you?
Definitely. And we have a huge range of tack and accessories, which I think would be even more useful and open to talking about.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, then contact them for that as well. And if you missed any part of this particular session, you can catch the rest of it or see the whole thing on the, you can hear it on the WISA podcast at Wisdom by WISA. Just check that out on any of your podcast players. Search for Wisdom by WISA on the WISA Trade Show YouTube channel. Yes, we have one. So you can find us there as well. And of course, on the website at wesatradeshow.com. The next trade show is coming up in August. I'm hoping to be there this time. I think this will be, I don't know, my 39th or something trade show over the years. So it's a lot of fun. It's in Dallas, and it's a good time. If you have never attended it before, you should probably take a look at that. Go to wisatradeshow.com. And you can search Retail Roundup on Facebook to find the group where everybody does the talking and where all these posts are. And we'll do the next one Monday the 17th, next Monday. Be sure to sign up and check out all the details at Retail Roundup on the Facebook group, or go to WESATradeshow.com. Thank you, Gabrielle. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.